Welcome to the DMV Sports Wire. My name is Chris Reardon, alongside my co-host Dan McHugh, and this is our pilot episode. Hey, buddy, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, and as you know, the show is called the DMV Sports Wire. It's all about sports in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. Yes. Me and Dan will be your hosts, and we'll definitely have to bring on a cast of other characters, some guests, some correspondents who specialize in the topic of each team. This week, for our introductory episode, I think we're going to talk, Dan, about just kind of the state of DMV sports. And to be quite honest, it feels like we're kind of going through a revival right now. I almost hate to say it. I don't want to jinx anything. Let me knock on some wood. But it seems like after years of pretty much mediocrity, and actually worse than mediocrity, may actually have some good sports in this area in a number of areas. So let's break it down bit by bit. We'll talk college sports a little later. This episode, I think, we'll just stick to the professional teams, but we will cover the college sports and some of the fringe sports from the DMV area. Dan, what do you feel about this resurgence of DMV teams? I mean, teams are making the playoffs, teams are improving their fortunes, and how do you feel about it?
I feel
as a loyal DC sports fan.
I feel good about it, obviously. I mean, it is nice to see that teams are winning again. It was nice to see the Nationals and the Orioles go to the playoffs for baseball. Yeah, the Redskins right now have won 5 in a row. We're in the playoff hunt. It's making my December more exciting than usual of saying, okay, the Redskins aren't going to make the playoffs. All right, better put on the Ravens gear, you know, get the Ravens gear dusted off for the playoff time. I may not have to do that this year, which I'm looking forward to.
By the time you listen to the show, the Redskins-Eagles game will probably have already taken place. We're recording here on a Saturday afternoon. But, the Redskins control their own destiny right now. Yeah. They win the last two, they win the division. And you can't ask for anything more, I think, with two football games left in the season to say, we don't need anybody's help. All we need to do is win, and we're in. And they've been very good against the NFC East this year, of course, closing out against division rivals, Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. I'm very excited about this game tomorrow. So let's take it team by team. So we'll start with the Redskins. You've already opened that can of worms. What looked like a very disappointing season just 5 weeks ago, Dan, but not unexpected at 3-6 early in the year. Shanahan was essentially saying he was going to evaluate for next year. And yes. I think people wrote the season off. Even though they were 3-6, though, I it was depressing, but I was still feeling good because RG3 had come in and played great, and really it was kind of more on the defense than anything else because RG3 has led a dynamic offense this year. Alfred Morris doesn't get the credit he deserves because he plays with RG3, but he's been a phenomenal rookie as well in that offense. That guy runs hard, and. Yeah, so now
and Pierre Garçon has been a great addition too, as well.
Yeah, it's no surprise, Dan, that it coincides with Garçon getting healthy that they started playing better.
Yeah,
that is clearly a better team with Garçon on the offense. Not that the offense was was bad when Garçon wasn't there, but I mean this guy is the most dynamic receiver on the team, and you have to think, look how explosive this offense is now. They seem to rack up at least 30 points almost every week now, and. It's without Fred Davis. So imagine when he comes back next year, they're only going to be, I think, even more explosive. It's a shock, 5 wins in a row, but they've earned it. And you can see this team has confidence now. It's the most important thing. I think part of it's the defense is, still not being great. They're causing turnovers. And I think it's this offense that they're finally getting comfortable in it. They know it works, and they're sticking with it. And RG3 has been phenomenal. And I think you can't ask for a better backup than Kirk Cousins right now. He's really stepped up huge.
So far he's been good, in the two games he's been in. He's played well. And he played briefly in that game where RG3 got a concussion earlier this year. And, he's done a good job. I think that he's a definitely a decent backup, no doubt.
A lot of people think he could actually start in this league, and I mean, if the way he played last week was any proof, then yeah, I think it's true. Now I hear people talking: should we trade Kirk Cousins in the offseason and get something in return for him? Considering we gave up a lot of draft picks to get RG3, totally worth it.
Might be a good idea. Might be a good idea to trade him for a linebacker or a defensive, you know, so a defensive player, I think. You know, maybe someone to replace D'Angelo Hall. How about that?
Well, yeah, he's not had the best year. He's getting burned left and right. But here's the thing, Dan. The Redskins give up big plays, but one of the keys to their victories is that they make more big plays than they give up. So that's been huge. I mean, there's been just a number of explosive plays this year, 50-yard touchdown bombs. But on the subject of Kirk Cousins, to go back to that, I think that they'd really have to offer a lot for us to give up Kirk Cousins, in my opinion. Look, the quarterback situation in D.C. has been pretty up in the air, pretty terrible in general. We burned through quarterbacks. It's nobody's business. And
it's a very
list. Yeah, well, no other team in the league has had more starting quarterbacks, I think, over the
last 10 years.
Yeah, 10, 15 years. And since Mark Rippon, I don't think we've had necessarily a quarterback that you could truly rely on. Mark Brunell had some moments.
Brad Johnson had some moments, too.
Okay, to be fair, Brad Johnson was probably the best quarterback we had in recent memory. Mark Brunell was okay at times. Did get the team to the playoffs, but that was on a strong running game and a much better defense than we have now. And Jason Campbell looked like he had potential, but never really realized that to its full extent.
What about that Patrick Ramsey? No, I'm just kidding. He's terrible.
He wasn't very good either. And now I think that on Steve Spurrier's shoulders. But, with all these, these big question marks year after year at quarterback, now that we finally have two guys, why make your situation worse? Look, we know the way RG3 plays. He doesn't hold back any punches, and he's not the biggest guy in the world. So he is a guy, and we've already seen him, go out twice, once with a concussion, once with a knee injury. In knowing the way he plays, I think, he's a little more liable to injury, a little more prone to injury, rather, than some other quarterbacks in the league. So why not have a solid situation? Right now, you have two guys that can get the job done, and I think if you're going to trade Kirk Cousins, you have to demand a lot because he means a lot to this team. RG3 is great. I think he's clearly the starting quarterback. There's no quarterback controversy here. But should something happen to him, and again, I hope nothing does. I'm not saying that, but you need a solid guy waiting in the wings, and you can't ask for a better backup than in Cousins. So I think unless the deal is just too good to pass up, you got to keep both guys, and that way you'll be set and comfortable at quarterback for years to come.
Yeah. I agree.
What do you think?
My biggest concern with the Redskins right now is the defense. I mean, hopefully we'll get Carricker back and we'll get Arakpo back next year healthy. But, I think the defense, in the secondary. The secondary has not been great. I mean, D'Angelo Hall, I hope this is his last season. He's been a bust. And he not only that, he's also been attacking reporters and referees and everybody. I think he's done. And
you're right. The defense is definitely the thing to address in the offseason. Yeah. Right now, I think our offense is pretty solid. We've got a good offensive line, two quarterbacks, a very solid running back. I like the fullback. We got a number of good tight ends, and the wide receivers have proven great. I mean, look, Santana Moss, now that he's not, he's getting older, but he's still got speed, he's still got heart, and he's not being asked to carry the load anymore like he was before. He was usually him and Chris Kluger were the only two targets that some of these previous quarterbacks we mentioned, Brunell and Jason Campbell had to throw to. And now that there's just a ton of targets, because look, Pierre Garçon's definitely the number one. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
But we saw what Leonard Hankerson did last week. He's been solid, and he's the number four guy, Dan. Joshua Morgan, besides that one boneheaded play early in the year that potentially cost the Redskins a win, he's been very solid. He's a local guy. He's from the area. And he actually leads the team in receiving yards, believe it or not. And Santana Moss has been fantastic as well. And now that he's the third receiver, with so much attention being focused on guys like Garçon, it's opened things up for Moss. He can still be very dangerous. And Aldrick Robinson, the fifth receiver, who he's very inconsistent, but, I mean, he's very, very fast. And he's proven he can be a playmaker. Mm. So I think we're set on offense. We got to focus on the defense. Getting the two guys you mentioned back and healthy, Carricker and Arakpo, is huge. But I agree with you. I think the secondary is the thing that hurts us the most.
We're going to have a big gap to fill in the next year or two, because I have a feeling London Fletcher may retire in the next year or two. I just think that his age and how many years he's played in the league, we're definitely going to need to address that soon. A middle linebacker, and that'll be.
That's about as well one for the future. I still think he has at least two seasons left in him.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. One, maybe two. And maybe, I think, beyond.
Healthy, yeah, you're right. He probably does have a year or two left in the tank.
Yeah, and he's still performing at a very high level.
Yeah. But when he does leave, that's going to be a big gap to fill because he's been the heart and soul of the defense for over a decade with the Redskins. Has it been a year? Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, and actually, one of our friends, Eric Tinsdale, was arguing that, you know, people, you know, Ray Lewis is great, but people act like, oh, Ray Lewis is so much better than London Fletcher. If you look at the career statistics, you know, they both won a Super Bowl, and actually, London Fletcher matches up pretty well to Ray Lewis, and maybe Ray is a little more passionate, but I think London Fletcher is a great leader as well. I think he's very key to the Redskins' locker room chemistry, and, you know, to be fair to the secondary, one of the things, like, they're not playing good, but the fact that we have no pass rush right now and the quarterbacks just have, you know, time in the world to throw doesn't really help.
That's true.
The secondary. So it makes them look a little worse than they are. Not having Brandon Merriweather healthy, I think, has certainly hurt. Mm. And, like, D'Angelo Hall hasn't played well. Chris Wilson was solid to finish out last year, but I think we're not seeing the improvement we were expecting out of him. So, yeah, definitely need to address that. But I think this is a team that could be good for years to come. And, you know, look, we made some boneheaded moves in the past, Dan, giving up too much draft picks and not getting much in return. I think this move to get RG3 was well worth it. You find a gem like Morris in the sixth round. If they can find a gem like that in defense next year or a couple gems like that, and maybe, you know, cautiously, but pick up a piece in free agency, the defense can be turned around pretty quick.
I love that, you know, since we've gotten Bruce Allen as our general manager, the days of, you know, high-priced free agents are not happening. And you know what? The Redskins are so much better off that we don't have these high-priced free agents like we've gotten in the past. Because they've been cancer, pretty much. Almost all of them we brought in, you know. And there's a very long list of guys that we brought in over the last decade that have been a complete disaster, you know, high-priced free agents that produced nothing and made off with a bunch of money.
Absolutely. And look, we've talked about this resurgence, this revival of performance in you know, DMV area sports. So we've talked about the Redskins, like we said, very solid chance of making the playoffs. In fact, they can even qualify for a wild card spot this week if they beat Philadelphia and I think three other teams lose, the Bears, the Vikings, and one other, I can't think of. Oh, Giants, if the Giants lose, I think. So pretty good that we could be talking playoffs, you know, even before they potentially clinch the division, they could clinch a wild card spot. So the Redskins are looking in good shape. Kind of hard to believe after being 3-6 5 weeks ago. Let's stick with the pigskin. Let's talk about the Ravens. They've been solid for years. That's the one team that's been, well, besides the Capitals in recent memory, there's not anything to talk about. That's the one team that's really been consistently good for the last decade. Was the Baltimore Ravens.
Many playoff appearances, postseasons, Super Bowl, you know, they've got a solid foundation, you know, a great general manager in Ozzie Newsome who has always made good draft picks, or many good draft picks, I shouldn't say all, but, you know, and they win. The last, you know, and since they've had Harbaugh, they've been in the playoffs 4 years in a row. That's pretty phenomenal.
I think they got a coach in Harbaugh, and, you know, like you said, Super Bowl appearance, conference championship appearances, very solid team. Now, currently right now, they're definitely in the playoff hunt, definitely in the hunt to win the division, but their play has declined quite a bit this last week. And early in the year, we heard all this talk about, is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback? And I think he's a fantastic quarterback, but their decline in play has coincided with Joe Flacco's decrease in production. He's not playing as well. He was playing lights out to start the year, and now he's been struggling. And it's a little bit surprising because he's got a great running game with Ray Rice. He's got Anquan Boldin, who's a nice big target receiver. And then he's also got, a speedster in Torrey Smith, guy out of the University of Maryland, another local I don't know, local guy, but he's got ties to the local.
Anyway, yeah.
And you know, he's got the defense is not as strong as it once was, to be fair. And
Ray Lewis out with an injury, and other guys have been injured. I don't know the names off the top of my head, but, yeah, they've suffered some injuries this year. And it's showing their defense hasn't played as well the last few games. Especially against the Redskins, they gave up a good amount of points. And against Denver, they got crushed by Denver last week. So They have been struggling, but they're still in, I guess they're in the playoffs right now. So
yeah, I think they're going to make the playoffs. But earlier in the year, the talk was Baltimore Ravens were probably one of the Super Bowl contenders, one of the, you know, teams you could probably throw out there as a nice pick. And now I'm thinking probably not.
Yeah, no, I don't think see them. They'd be lucky to make it past into the second round. They won't make it to the AFC Championship, at least the way they're playing right now, unless something, you know, something happens where they just, you know, play better. I don't know. But the way they're playing, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. The other thing that's baffling, man, is that really, as good as Joe Flacco is, and he hasn't been playing great lately, but he's still a very solid quarterback. Whether he's an elite quarterback or not, I don't think we need to get into that discussion, unless you want to. But
I mean, the thing about him is he's got to win a Super Bowl. That'll shut the critics up. Is he an elite quarterback or not? You know, that's what usually shuts people up. Winning is what shuts people up. Are you elite or not?
Oh.
You know? That's what Joe
Flacco
has to do.
He's a leader on the team. He's a good player. But he's certainly not the best player on offense, and as good as their passing attack can be, I think a lot of that stems from the best player on their offense, which is Ray Rice. I mean, he's a phenomenal running back. He knows how to run is the most important thing, but he can block, he can catch out of the backfield. And another thing, like I said, the Ravens have not been playing great lately. They've been losing matches. They've been losing matches big, like you said last week at times. The Redskins game was a close one, to be fair, and the Redskins, I wouldn't say they got lucky, but they were certainly very fortunate to win that one. And it's not only been Joe Flacco's decline in play that's coincided with the team's decline in play, but also the fact that they're bafflingly not giving Ray Rice enough touches.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to give him the ball. He's the best player on the team, and if you think that passing attack is struggling, I've got the remedy for it. Give the ball to Ray Rice more. Make these defenses have to key in on him and open up some space in the passing game.
Well, maybe that will happen. That we, you know, the Ravens fired Cam Cameron, their offensive coordinator, after the loss to the Redskins, and hired Jim Caldwell, the former Colts head coach, to be the new offensive coordinator. So maybe that's what we'll see more, perhaps, with the new offensive coordinator. Maybe he'll get it and say, yeah, we need to give the ball to Ray Rice. Duh. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Ravens are a better passing team. You know, back in the day when they had the, you know, record-setting defense, and they had, you know, Tony Banks to start the season as the quarterback, and eventually Trent Dilfer. They were always a team that relied on a very sturdy defense, and back then it was Jamal Lewis handing him the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? They've always been a run team with defense. Now they have the ability to have a dynamic, open passing attack, but I think they need to go back to their roots a little bit and start running the football, because that's going to set up that passing attack to be good.
And they've never had a great receiving core. If you remember in the past, like, their best receiver was probably Shannon Sharp, you know, the tight end. And then they had Todd Heap, who was a pretty good tight end. But as far as, like, great Raven receivers, there hasn't been that many in the last decade, you know, come to mind.
I'm being stumped on this off the top of my head, but who's their third receiver who's also very good? They've got Bolden, they've got
Anquan Bolden.
Anquan Bolden.
Yeah, I don't
God,
know.
This is driving me nuts.
We'll have to. We'll get back to you on that one. Yeah, we'll have to have our crack team do some research, because yeah, we're stumped there.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, so Ravens are solid. I think they're gonna make the playoffs. Super Bowl run?
Nah, I don't think. I don't see it. At least not right now.
Yeah. So okay, let's move off from
those dreams of a Redskins Ravens Super Bowl. Probably not gonna happen this year.
Yeah, well, that was the dreams last year of a Nationals-Orioles World Series. And speaking of that, let's move on to baseball. And, hey, who would have thought after years of just terrible baseball coming out of MV, I mean, the Orioles were a shell of their former selves. The Nationals, beyond that first season where they were leading at the midway point, I think they're like 5 or 5.5 games ahead of the Braves that first year, and then ended up faltering down the stretch. They had never been in the talk of playoffs at all. They'd never even had a chance.
Lost 100. You remember they lost 100 games a couple of years back with Manny Act as their manager. I mean, yeah, things were not good in Washington
and all
baseball.
100 games this past year. So that's pretty impressive. But, yeah, absolutely. And
well, and I think that, you know, if you look at what has happened with both teams, they went and finally got – both teams got managers that are winners. David Johnson, who was who's won everywhere he's gone, including with the Orioles, and Buck Showalter is a guy who has taken many teams to postseason runs with the Yankees and the Diamondbacks, I believe, and even the Rangers. I mean, so, you know – two fine managers that they brought in, on, you know. And the Orioles brought in a good general manager in Dan Duquette, and the Nats with who's their general manager? Oh, Mike Rizzo. Mike Rizzo has done a very good job in bringing in personnel. So
absolutely, the Nationals have done phenomenal. I mean, with their farm system, and it all starts from there. I mean, most of these big names you're talking about, you know, on their team. Well, first off, before I go into that, the managers, Dan, you're absolutely right. You got two old school guys, two guys who have been around, who are proven winners, and who, quite frankly, are not only good managers, but they're good player managers. You know what I mean? They're, mm-hmm. they're good at building the morale of a team and building team chemistry. The players love both of these guys.
Yeah.
Not only because they're good managers, but because they're good people. And they know how to build the right, I don't know, set of character. Another talent that Joe Gibbs had in another sport, but he knew how to put a team chemistry together. And Davey Johnson has now managed my three favorite teams. I'm all local guy, but I will admittedly admit that.
Yes, that's true.
I will admit that I'm a Mets fan. That's my third team, and that's the only team outside of the DMV that I root for. I've got some family ties to New York, and when I was a kid, I watch a lot of.
And didn't he take the Mets to a postseason? I believe he did, didn't he?
I believe a World Series. I could be wrong on that, but yes.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah. So I mean, he's taken all three teams then to postseason appearances, which is pretty.
Yeah, and he's managed the U.S. National Baseball Team, which they've never won the World Baseball Classic, but he's got a great resume. Unfortunately, he's going to be stepping down after this year. I'm hoping that changes, but we'll see. He said they have unfinished business. Hey, look, if they win the World Series next year, and it's way too soon to say anything like that, but if they do, I think that would be a great way to go out. Then I would be okay with it. But I want to see Davey get a World Series here in Washington.
I would like to see that. Yeah, I think that he's a – and the same with Showalter. Showalter's a guy who – he's almost like Marty Schottenheimer, they say, in a lot of ways. He has taken a lot of teams to the postseason, just never won the big one, you know? So he's like a Marty Schottenheimer in baseball a little bit, Showalter. So
let's hope that Davey wins it this year. I know you're more of an Orioles fan, Dave. Let's hope Davey wins it this year so we can get it, because Showalter hasn't made any statements about stepping down.
No, I don't think he'll be there. I think he'll be there for the next Showalter, two or three years or at least.
And look, both of these teams were surprises, Dan, but I think the Orioles were even more of a surprise because the Nationals, I think you could see the talent they had, and people weren't really picking them to make the playoffs, but they thought they were going to be relevant maybe in the playoffs in the next couple years. With the Nationals, it's all started with that farm system. Like I said, these key names in the team.
They've had high profile bring-ins, of course, Strasburg and Bryce Harper. You know, these guys are phenomenal. And
good draft picks in Strasburg and Bryce Harper. You got Jordan Zimmermann, who came up through the farm system, a phenomenal pitcher. They made a great trade in getting Gio Gonzalez, great starting lefty. And
they made a good investment in making Ryan Zimmermann the franchise of that team, and he's been the heart and soul of that team for so long, and he's nothing but good things about him. Yeah.
When you look at their fifth starter, Dan, in Ross Detweiler, and you can understand why he gets a little bit overlooked because of all the other great talent on that team. Mm-hmm. But he had a phenomenal year. He's from the farm system. And just to imagine, as good as Detweiler was, Dan, he's a number five pitcher. I don't think any other team can say they have a number five pitcher that solid. So, I mean, that's how deep the Nationals, pitching staff is. Not to mention that they have a very solid bullpen. They got Drew Storen. Guys like Jason Worth, okay, he's had injury problems. Maybe he hasn't put up the numbers that you would want for the contract he got. I think he's very important to the team. He was very clutch late in the year and in the postseason, and he's a very good leader on that team.
And their current catcher, was he there when Pudge was there? So he had a great mentor in Pudge.
That's Wilson Ramos, but he was injured most of the year. They traded in Kurt Suzuki from the Mariners midseason, and he's been fantastic.
Okay.
I like what they're doing. Now, I do want to see them re-sign Adam LaRoche. I hear the talk is basically that if they don't re-sign LaRoche, they'll put Michael Morse at first base, which is fine for the bat, but LaRoche is the best defensive first baseman in the league. Throwing the fact that he led the team in RBIs, I think you need him back. I like Morse.
We brought him in from the – I remember when we brought him in from the Pirates, and then I think he was traded, actually, to Washington from the Pirates, and there was a game in Pittsburgh, his first game back in Pittsburgh. Remember that they made mention to the fact that the – Pirate fans were booing him for some, even though he did. Anyway, I'm sure they wish they had him back now. Yeah.
You talking about Morse?
No, Adam LaRoche.
No, we didn't. We signed him as a free agent. He didn't. He was with the Cardinals before that.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe he. I don't know if he ever played in Pittsburgh, but yes,
Okay,
he's
I
a
don't
very.
know.
It's all good,
Forget my
but.
story.
All right, but LaRoche, yeah, I think we need to re-sign him. And like I said, I hear the word also is that if we do re-sign LaRoche, Morse will probably get traded, which I'm a little bit disappointed in. I think he's a very solid character guy on the team, too. He's got a very powerful bat. And maybe he's a defensive liability in the outfield, but I think he can for the most part, be a key part to the team and not something that would hurt us. They traded and got, or not, I don't know, was it a trade? No, I think it was a free agent signing, but they got Denard Span. Center fielder. That's nice. A true leadoff guy. But at the same time, I don't know. I really liked Bryce Harper. I thought he was playing good in center field. I thought he was making a lot of plays. The guy's got a gun. To think he was a converted catcher, you wouldn't believe it the way he plays in the outfield. And, Bryce Harper's only going to get better.
Yeah,
They
he's only
instead.
nine. He's only 20 years old, isn't he? He's gonna get a lot better.
And Edwin Jackson left in the offseason. And no surprise there. I mean, he had a solid year, but he faltered down the stretch, and he wasn't very good in the postseason. He's an innings eater. What did they go out and do? They got another innings eater to replace him in Dan Heron, three-time All-Star, signed from the his previous team was the Los Angeles Angels. Now, the question with Heron is he has some injury issues, and his arm is a little bit of a question mark, but. I'll take it. I think he's, very solid addition, another all-star pitcher to the rotation and an innings eater. So if he can stay healthy, I think they'll be okay. Plus, you got guys like Christian Garcia, who was very solid in the bullpen, in some long relief stints. I think he could be a starter, as well. So I'm liking what I see out of the Nats. They've got almost everybody coming back. Ian Desmond had a career year.
Yes, he
Ryan
did.
Zimmerman was injured. Let's see if we get him, fully healthy back. Excuse me, back fully healthy this year. And, we need Danny Espinosa to go back to his form from the previous year, not strike out so much, hit a few more home runs. And all right, let's move on to the Orioles. The Orioles,
I mean, well, the thing about the Orioles is the reason a lot of people gave Andy McPhail a lot of crap and called him McFailure and all that stuff. But, a lot of the guys that have emerged as stars on that team are guys that he brought in. And it just took time for, a lot of these guys like Matt Wieters to become something. And they have. And
Well, look,
it's been exciting to watch a lot of,
the key to the Orioles last year, Dan, was their bullpen. They had, arguably the best bullpen in baseball. I would say the Nationals probably had the best overall pitching staff in baseball, but the Orioles had the best bullpen. And what's the key to baseball? Good offense is nice, but it's
good
pitching.
pitching, you can never have enough good pitching. That's for sure.
Yeah, and we had solid pitching on both of the teams. Now, some stuff, some talk has been made of the Orioles not picking up many pieces in the offseason, and the Blue Jays are making themselves a better team, and other teams in the division are making key signings. So can the Orioles keep up, and is it, was it a fluke year that can they repeat what they had? They've got most of the guys coming back. They did lose Mark Reynolds, who, okay, look, he hit a lot of home runs in the second half of the season, but the guy was a strikeout machine
Yeah.
and wasn't much in the world. Chris Davis had a great year. He can play first base for you. You do lose but defensively, because Mark Reynolds was also very solid defensively at first base since making the move from third. But I'm liking what I see with the Orioles too. Matt Wieters had a solid year.
Great
I
year.
think he can hit for more average, but he was great down the stretch. You got probably Chris Davis at first base. We'll see if Brian Roberts comes back healthy this year.
The thing about Roberts is that if he gets hurt again, they need to get rid of him. I mean, he has barely played in the last 3 years. He's making a lot of money, and he's been hurt. At some point you got to say, this is it. I hopefully it comes back healthy and strong. But if he doesn't, I think he should retire.
Yeah, so second base, a little bit of a question mark. Ryan Flaherty showed some flashes. Robert Andino doesn't really impress me too much. He's got a little pop, but he's too
Yeah.
inconsistent. A little pop in his bat, but yeah, just not consistent.
And
And
Adam Jones has been, consistent, been outfield for.
that was a great move. I was originally kind of pissed off because Eric Bedard was such a solid pitcher, and I thought they needed pitching. But Bedard's had injury problems in Seattle, and Jones has been nothing but a great center fielder. You're going to have Nick Markakis come back healthy. Nolan Rimmel, the guy, I feel like he gets overlooked. I mean,
Yeah,
he was hitting the ball really hard before he got injured. He's
and
going to come.
Markakis has had some good years and some bad years. He played well this year. He still hasn't
Well,
had
he's.
an all-star. He still has yet to make an all-star game, which I'm very disappointed about. I keep wanting him to have a, an all. I think he. I hope ne hopefully next year he'll have a an all-star year type season. I don't know.
Yeah, and look, right now the Orioles have those three guys in the outfield, plus they re-signed Nate McLeod. I thought he was very good towards the end of last year. So you got a good four-man rotation in the outfield. You can whoever doesn't start in the outfield, you could probably slot him in as the DH. And then you got the rookie sensation of Manny Machado at third. I mean, he's going to be something special.
Yeah, Manny Machado. Mm-hmm.
Great defensively, converted shortstop. And he showed not only that he has pop in the bat and speed, but he was clutch. I mean, he had some big hits for that team down the stretch, and I suspect he'll only get better in the hitting department. But his fielding is almost gold glove worthy already. Just some fantastic plays. And pitching staff is, you know, not maybe the best in baseball, but I think slightly underrated. If Jason Hamill can stay healthy, he's solid. Gonzalez came in and pitched really well last year. I thought Chris Tillman had some good moments. You've got some other young arms like Zach Britton and Jake Arrieta who showed flashes, but they need a little more consistency. And you got this guy Bundy coming up. Mm-hmm. He's good.
Dylan Bundy?
Bundy, yeah.
So He's I've been told he is they think he's going to be something someday. But yeah, he's got potential.
So yeah, I mean, I think people wanted to see the Orioles maybe add one more bat to the lineup or more importantly, add another starter. But I the Korean guy. I don't know why I'm struggling.
I can't
with
remember
name.
His name. Yeah, I know you're talking about the pitcher.
Yeah, Wynn.
Yeah, he's really good.
Why am I stumping on the name? I mean, I know this right at DMV Sports. I mean, I was sitting there watching all the games. Why am I forgetting his name? Oh my gosh. By the way, the earlier name I forgot with the Ravens was Jacoby Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking it up now because I don't know. Orioles pitcher. Anyway, I'll get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So look, he was solid, and you know JJ Hardy's okay at shortstop. I don't think he's Chen Wei Yin.
Okay.
Wei Yin Chen rather. That's right. They put the last name first in Korean. But yeah, JJ Hardy, you know, decent guy. He's got some pop in his bat as well, and solid defensively. This team was good defensively. They had a good bullpen and an underrated starting rotation that only got better as the year went along. Was it a fluke? I don't think it was a fluke. I think this year will be a little tougher with the way the Blue Jays.
Oh yeah, we got to mention the fact that remember in the middle of the season they brought in Jim Thome into the lineup, and he certainly as you know a crafty veteran, and you know he really helped the team. He did a pretty good job during his. I don't know if he'll be back next year. My guess probably not, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, we'll see. But I don't know. It's to me. This team has the potential to repeat what they did. I don't, you know, they're not really losing any key pieces beyond Mark Reynolds, so I don't see why they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a fluke from the Orioles, but other teams have kind of stepped up in the division and gotten really good as well. So it kind of remains to be seen, but I think one thing's for sure, playoffs or no, the Orioles will be relevant. They will be involved in the race, and the years of them being bottom feeders seem to be over.
It's nice to see that it looks like, you know, the Red Sox right now are basically going through major rebuilding. They're in a real slump, and they're going to have to dish out some real dollars to fix their problems because their team's a mess right now. So
yeah, that certainly helps as well. And the way the Orioles – after the good seasons that both the Nationals and Orioles had, both – were kind of depressing exits from the playoffs, especially the Nationals having a 6-run lead early in game 7 and then having a 2-run lead heading into the 9th, bases loaded, 2 outs, you just need 1 out.
Mm.
That's all you're into the NL championship game. That was a terrible way to lose a baseball game. How did you feel at that moment, Dan?
Well, when the Nationals lost,
they had a 2-run lead heading into the 9th.
Yeah, I remember. I was watching the game at a bar and by myself, and yeah, it was very disappointing.
What was the reaction from the patrons of the bar?
Pretty upset. I mean, I was I was actually watching at a bar in D.C. though, not in Baltimore. But there was Oriole fans there watching it. Yeah, they weren't happy. You know, and it was pretty. But I think most people are saying, well, it's been 14 years of losing. You know, I'll take this year. You know.
Well, I was actually talking about the Nationals game. The Nationals were 2 outs away, bases loaded. They were in a bases loaded jam, but they had 2 outs. They were 1 out away from going to the championship game with a 2-run lead.
You know what? After the Orioles game was over, I made my way to another bar and I watched briefly part of the Nats game, and I didn't see the end.
Oh, okay. Well, I
I'm pretty bummed about the Orioles losing, to be honest. But yeah, it was, you know, it was pretty depressing that the Nats lost too. And yeah, that was a double whammy. We, you know, one after the other. It's like, man, this stinks.
So, well, not only that, but if you look at the Orioles, I mean, Raul Ibanez, as I say, you know, Raul bleeping Ibanez, if he hadn't hit that clutch home run in game four, we might be talking about a different series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Orioles potentially would have already won the series. It wouldn't have had to go to that game, that deciding game, seven.
The one downside to both teams winning is that ticket prices have gone up on ticket prices to go to games. I am going to miss getting a $10 ticket to an Orioles game 5 minutes before the game starts. You know, never getting a good seat. Those days are over. So.
Dan, rather pay next to nothing for a terrible team. There's a reason you're paying next to nothing, because no one wants to see them. Would you rather pay next to nothing for a terrible
team? Yeah, I'm kidding, by the way. I'm making a joke. Okay.
See a team that really is relevant and entertaining and good and worthy of having fans watch them.
Yes, of course. I'm just saying that I'm going to miss getting a good price for a ticket, you know?
Well, it's an option, Dan, for you, so we'll move on to the Washington Wizards, because if you want to go to a cheap sporting event, I have to imagine that ticket prices are at an all-time low.
Yes.
The Wizards won 3 games so far, Dan. I think they've lost 20 so far, yes? Or maybe a little less.
21. I think they lost their 21st game last night.
They might as well just tank the season. They're horrible. They're clearly the worst team in the league. Not having John Wall hurts, but I'm not sure how much better they'd be with him. Because when you're this bad without one player, I don't know how much John Wall could turn their fortunes around. And they might as well just tank the season.
I think they ought to just tank the season. I mean, I'm with you. Like, just.
But it's a lottery in basketball, so you know, being the worst team doesn't it gives you a higher chance of getting the number one pick, but because they did this lottery, it doesn't guarantee it. Not like the NFL, where you're the worst team, you get the number one pick.
And I think that, you know, if this season, if they you know, end up with the worst record, and looks like that's what's going to happen, Ernie Grunfeld, the general manager, you know, Leosis needs to ax him. He needs to go, because he's done a terrible job.
I think, you know, with the way Leonsis has worked with the Capitals, I think a lot of people were expecting the Wizards to get better. Now, Leonsis has been careful to say, look, I'm not a magician. Me coming in and buying a team doesn't mean they're going to be good overnight. But he wants to develop them the same way he's developed the Capitals, which is, you know, basically through a good farm system. I mean, the Hershey Bears are a great.
You've got to remember, when he first bought the Capitals, they did all right for a while. They had some bad seasons under him, and then, you know, bringing in Ovechkin was kind of the start of turning things around for the Caps.
Yeah, and they have a good minor league team.
Yeah.
There's no minor league in basketball, so he can't do it the exact same way, but he wants to do it through youth. Well, it looks like he'll have that opportunity, because they're terrible. They're going to have a very high draft pick this year, and they quite frankly just need a lot of help right now. I don't know what to say. Nene has come back from injury. He's played pretty well. I like Jordan Crawford as a player, but Bradley Beal has shown his moments. I think he'll only get better. So if we can get a healthy Wall back, Beal continues to develop. We'll see what Nene has to offer. And Crawford keeps playing well, and they get another player. Maybe they can be good in a couple years, but you know, not having Trevor Booker has also hurt. But I don't know, like. Yeah, look at some of the free agents they brought in. They haven't really done a whole lot for the team. Ariza and AJ Price have had flashes, but they haven't played all that great. And
they're the
team without depth right now. And it's just bad.
It's bad. It's hard to spin it in any way other. You know, yeah, they stink. I've watched. They managed to beat the Miami Heat earlier this year. One of their 3 wins.
They seem to beat them quite a bit. I don't know what it is about.
I don't know how they do that, and then they can't beat anybody else. It's just pathetic.
Well, the Heat got their revenge a week ago or so when they crushed the Wizards by 30. I think the Heat may have trouble getting up against the Wizards, but I think after the embarrassment of losing to the worst team in the league, they had something to prove in that one, and boy, did they. They won by, I think, around 30 points. So, but, yeah, they're just bad, like you said. I think it's going to be clearly several years before that they do anything.
It's depressing to even talk about. So, you know, we should move on, you know, and then it's even worse because, you know, okay, I don't have to watch the Wizards. I can watch hockey. Well, we can't watch hockey in the D.C. area because the Caps are on strike, and the NHL's on strike, and so no hockey this year. And that's really, it's really bumming. I'm just bummed about that.
It's going to be a season, right? It's pretty much, you know, the hopes of having any type of a season have pretty much gone up in smoke, I imagine, yeah?
And it's funny. They actually did. They played a Hershey Bear game recently at the Verizon Center, and a coworker of mine went to the game, and there was a big crowd there because there's a real hunger for hockey, and we're not getting it. And he said during the game there was a big chant that broke out at one point. Fire Bettman, fire Bettman. And I think this is the third strike now that Gary Bettman has happened under the helm since he's been the commissioner of the NHL. It's like in baseball. Three strikes, you're out. I think Bettman needs to go.
Well, you can put part of the blame on him, I agree. But I think a lot of it you can put on just the sheer greed of the owners.
Well, yeah, that too, of course.
They're incredibly stupid, Dan. This is a sport that it took years for hockey to kind of get back on the map after their previous,
labor stop.
And now, when hockey's finally starting to make some ground and gain some popularity, they're going to go ahead and do something stupid like this and probably, alienate fans again, and it may be another – half a decade or more before they can get back to the level they were at the previous year. So it's just incredibly stupid. I can't fathom it, and it sucks as a Capitals fan because the team is finally playing good. Now, they tended to underwhelm in the playoffs. They always disappointed. We're still looking for that elusive first title in hockey. We've won one in every other sport in the D.C. area, but they were fun to watch. They were a team you could count on being in the playoff race, and I miss it. And certainly when the Wizards are playing terrible, and now you have no hockey to turn to, it's a tough time of year. So
it's gonna be tough in late January, February after the NFL's done, and all we got around here is Wizards basketball until baseball starts up. That's gonna be a tough 2 months or so. March, February and March are gonna be tough.
Well,
talking
the good
about
news,
Wizards basketball.
Something else that comes around in the springtime is DC United soccer.
Of course, yes.
And look, they've been great, and they're fun to watch now too. After being, one of the worst teams in history, I think, like 3 or 4 years ago, they turned it around. Benny Olsen, in his second full year as a coach, was able to get the team to the playoffs. Not only that, but to the conference final. One win away from, a win over two legs against the Houston Dynamo, one playoff series away from being an MLS Cup final again.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been fantastic.
I think Ben Olsen has been a great coach, and it was great to bring him in, especially after the, disastrous with Anolfo, who was just awful. Ben Olsen brings that intensity, brings that fire and that passion. He is just, he was an intense player, and he's even an intense coach. You can just tell watching him on the sidelines. And I think the players respect him and respond to him. And it shows.
Yeah, I mean, look, he always brought the passion on the pitch, so it's no surprise he brings it as a manager. I like him as a coach. I think he's done a great job, and I'm not going to criticize him too much. I think one thing is that he hasn't played some of his star players because maybe they're not having the best practice. But, hey, that's his philosophy. And in the end, they got to the conference final. So I guess I can't really complain too much about his methods. This team has a very solid young core to build upon. You're talking, this guy's not young. Dwayne De Rosario is the leader of the team. But beyond him, they've got Chris Pontius, who's relatively young, Andy Nahar, Nick De Leon, trio of midfielders there, Perry Kitchen as well, solid goalkeeper in Bill Hamid. Chris Korb has proven to be a solid outside back. They've got a good young core to build on. They've brought in some other pieces. I'd like to see them make a few moves in the offseason. They did lose Branko Boskovic, and though with the amount of talent they have in the midfield right now, I'm not sure that hurts too much, especially if De Rosario stays healthy. But I think they need a little help at striker. Chris Pontius can play striker, but I think he's a little more dynamic, and you want him to touch the ball more. So I think he's a little more dynamic as a midfielder, and he's done a good job on the left flank. So I'd like to see them bring in one striker. If they could bring in a guy like Hercules Gomez, I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think they're kind of one or two pieces away from being a definite championship contender. I still think they are a contender right now, and obviously after the year they had. It was great to see nice big crowds at RFK at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
and you saw the crowds for the Orioles and Nationals. It goes to show you that when you have a good team, I hate to call them fair weather fans, but hey, look, it's not that all these fans that don't come are fair weather. It's that when you sit there and watch a team lose for 5 years and you keep throwing away money, you can still be a fan of the team, enjoy them, watch them on TV, but why spend money if you know you're just going to go watch a losing product? And one bad year, that's kind of stupid. But if it's 5, 6, 7 years in a row Well, you can't really blame the fans for not showing up anymore, can you? Because we've all got other things to do in life. And why dedicate time to a product that isn't really going to dedicate its best efforts for you? Yeah?
Yeah. And also with DC United, there's been some change in management, right, with ownership. Will Chang acquired some new partners that bought the team. And didn't the longtime general manager or president of the team step down? Kevin Payne
is no longer with the team. He is with Toronto FC, and I think that makes some people happy. Some people are sad to see him go. Payne was kind of, I don't know, people had a lot of varying opinions about him. But, yeah, he's gone. The Kevin Payne era is over. Will Chang still involved with the team, still got an ownership stake there, but took on two other investors. Eric Thor here, and I forget the other guy's name.
Well, and hopefully that means that they'll be more competitive in money-wise, that he has now more partners, you know, more money. Hopefully you can bring in better talent, you know, in the future, I guess.
Well, and the big key with United, Dan, and it's been talked about for years, is they've got to find a stadium. RFK, I like it, and I'll be sad to see that, you know, there's not really any more major sporting events going on there. It's a great place. It's got a great atmosphere. It's clearly falling apart. I mean, I still love the fact that the stands actually shake, but I think DC United needs their own soccer stadium.
And it looks bad. I mean, it looks great on television if they can draw a big crowd. If they can get 30,000 people at RFK and they're all screaming and singing, that looks great on television. But, you know, yeah, when you've got like 10,000 people there in a stadium that holds like 40,000 people, it looks really bad on television, you know.
Well, towards the end of the year last year, they were getting 19,000, 20,000 people, something around this. And if you had a 22-seat or 24,000-seat stadium, it doesn't look that bad. Then it looks pretty full.
Yeah.
And as far as soccer terms go in Europe, not a lot of teams can draw that much. So actually, the attendance is actually pretty good in MLS overall. Teams like Seattle and Vancouver,
yeah,
and Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched, you know, Seattle plays at a football stadium, and they get 30,000 people, and it's crazy. Like, it looks good on television. And DC United, if they play better, they're going to get more fans to show up, and so that's going to be good. But yeah, I'd like to see a soccer stadium, like you said, built for them in somewhere.
And every time they talk about building a stadium, something falls through the cracks, and it never happens. So I think it's one thing that's really frustrated fans, and we have to hope that that they solve this in the near future. But so there you go, Dan. Right now you've got the Redskins potentially making the playoffs. You've got the Ravens, who are in good position.
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles and Nationals made the playoffs. If they could just get hockey going off, the Capitals have been making the playoffs. DC United made the playoffs, and they look like they're – and all these teams that made the playoffs, Dan, this past year or have the potential to make the playoffs this year, they all look like they're set up to be good not only for, you know, this year or the past year, but for several years to come. I'm talking about the Redskins, the Ravens, DC United, Orioles, Nationals, the Capitals as well, if they can get, you know, get the league going, which looks like it probably will have to wait till next year.
Yeah.
The only team right now that's a huge question mark professionally is the Washington Wizards, and it's going to take them a long time to be relevant. But you know what? Having all of these teams good, Dan, I'll take it. I mean, when was the last time we could say all these teams were making the playoffs?
It's been a long time. It's been many,
the same year.
many years since we've had this much success in the Washington, D.C. area, in D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, with this many teams playing well. So it's been good. It's, I remember, it was sad, I remember watching, a couple of years ago when the Redskins were terrible and the Caps were doing well, this area turned into like capital land. You know, you're like walking around, people wearing Caps gear and whatnot. But now, now people are proud to wear the Redskins stuff and the Caps stuff at the Caps, and DC United and the Nationals. So it's good. It boosts morale. It boosts morale of the average person out there, the average sports fan in the DC area, that the teams are playing better.
And doesn't the world just look a little brighter now out in the DMV, Dan?
Yeah, it does, actually, a little bit.
So, all right, fair enough. Well, when we come back next week, we'll try to focus a little bit on the college sports. We had so much professional sports to talk about. Being the pilot episode, we wanted to I figured it was a great way to start the show. Our show is about the DMV Sports Wire. We're going to start talking about more current events, news, and matches. Well, that's matches for soccer, games for most other sports. But so we'll do a little more current. But I thought a good way to start off the show was to sit there and just kind of do a State of the Union address for DMV Sports, which and it's a great time to do that because, like I said, it's been going through a revival. This wasn't a depressing State of the Union address. This was one that I was quite excited to talk about, and I figured, hey, good way to start the show. And not only that, but it's something that needs to be talked about because we are going through a revival, and it's been fantastic. I only hope it continues.
And we're going to try to do this show once a week, and get it, you know, depending on schedules, of course. And the Twitter page, our show's Twitter page will be back up and running. I'm going to get that thing up and running this week. And we do have an email address. Is it? I think it's DMV Sportswire.
Yeah, dmvsportswire@gmail.com.
Gmail.com. If you got any questions for us, we will gladly try to answer them for you and read them on the air.
And, sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. In the meantime, goodbye, DC. Goodbye, Maryland. And goodbye, Virginia.
Goodbye.